You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The Wire.
I don't know, and frankly the whole thing gives me the heebie-jeebies.
The Wire.
According to the Child Poverty Action Group, the latest figures measuring child poverty rates in Aotearoa show no real improvement. About 1 in 10 children experience material hardship, and 1 in 5 Tamariki Māori and 1 in 4 Pacifica children, according to Stats New Zealand data. I spoke to a Māori paediatrician from Rotorua, lecturer in the School of Medicine at the University of Auckland, and Child Poverty Action Group spokesperson on issues affecting Māori, Tamariki and whānau, Dr. Danny Delore, about these statistics. We started off by summarising what these statistics show about the state of child poverty. Here is that interview.
To summarise the figures that have come out, there hasn't been a lot of change from in the last year, in the last few years, in relation to what we're seeing with child poverty rates. And in particular for Māori, we haven't seen an improvement in the material rates of material hardship affecting Tamariki Māori. We're still at about 1 in 5 Tamariki Māori affected by material hardship.
Yes, like you just said, that's 1 in 5 Māori, Tamariki Māori, and 1 in 4 Pacifica children as well, still experiencing material hardship. And those groups of children are disproportionately affected, and this hasn't changed. So can you tell us a bit about why this is?
When I think about poverty, I don't think about children who are affected by poverty. I think about our whole country and our whole society and about how we distribute wealth. And some of the factors that determine who's going to get what in the way we distribute wealth, they're very embedded in our systems and in our culture and our society, and they're intergenerational, and they probably are going to take a long time to fix. So even though it seems like there are short-term things we can do, and there are people trying hard to do short-term things, I think it is going to take a long time and investment and forward planning and long-term planning for us to see those numbers really shift to where we want them to be.
Out of the almost 9,000 households that were surveyed in Stats NZ's data, families living in motels or emergency accommodation and also living in cars and experiencing other forms of homelessness weren't included. What do you think about this?
I think that just tells us that the problem is likely to be worse than what we measure, and that the figures for the rates of poverty and the, you know, our interpretation of the impact of poverty is probably conservative. We probably underestimate that. For those of us who work in child health, and talking about paediatricians and Māori and Pacific paediatricians, we see the impact on people's lives and on the lives of children. Poverty tends to constrain your options, constrain the options of your parents. It can impact on not just your material wealth, but on your behavioural and emotional social development, on your cognitive development, on school attainment, on those sorts of things. And those, you know, if those constraints can persist into older childhood, young adulthood, and that can persist from generation to generation.
So from your perspective then as a paediatrician, what support are families or vulnerable families needing to help improve these statistics?
Oh, I think as a country we have to just invest more, you know, recognise that when children have these constraints on them and they're not thriving in the way that they should, they're not reaching the potential that they could reach, and that persists in, you know, that can compound and accumulate over the course of their lives and affect their options as adults, affect their health outcomes as adults, etc., then that is really wasted potential. So I think we have to think of the way that we move or invest into communities, into organisations, into kura, into all, and parents and families as a long-term investment in maximising our potential and allowing children to grow and thrive into adults who are going to make a contribution to society. And so anything that does that, you know, any organisations, and there are plenty of organisations trying to do this, including whether they're government or non-government. Those are the sorts of things we have to keep investing in, we have to keep putting our resources into.
So in terms then of long-term investment, do you have any policy recommendations for the government or any incoming government to improve on how we tackle eliminating child poverty in Aotearoa?
Yeah, well, for me, as I said before, I think this is an issue of how we distribute wealth. And poverty, if you think of it in that way, about where is our wealth, then poverty becomes the responsibility of all of us, not just people who are experiencing poverty. So the policy has to look at, people, you know, how we tax, how we provide welfare. So that's what I would be encouraging politicians to look at. I mean, people have said this, we talk to politicians about these issues. My impression is that for a long time, politicians are led by what people want. So it's really up to voters and people to decide how they want to address this issue, and up to the media and, for this to once again become a big issue when election time comes around, for example. So I'd encourage people who feel strongly about this, who want to make a difference to our society, who want to eliminate childhood poverty, to keep doing whatever they can to pressure politicians and decision makers about how we invest, how we distribute our wealth.
And that was Dr. Danny Delore from Child Poverty Action Group speaking on the latest figures measuring child poverty rates in Aotearoa and our next steps towards child poverty reduction from here.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.